The book of John, the gospel according to St. John, chapter 19, we read two verses, 33 through 34. You can take it to 35 anyway. 33. Shall we go? And the other who was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified. And this testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, so that you may believe. Take your Bible. When last did you read this Bible? Did you read it this morning? Did you read it yesterday? Take it up. Say it again after me. This is my Bible. The Word of God, the revelation of God to me. I believe this word. I submit myself to the authority of this word. My life is guided. I'm instructed. As I obey, I have peace and I prosper. Thank you, Father, for sending me light this morning through this word. A big amen.
Amen.
Now the next thing to do is to now thank God for the gift of a brother or a sister or someone around you. Just say, I celebrate God's gift upon your life. I celebrate you as a gift to me. I celebrate you as a gift to me. I didn't tell you to sit down yet. Can you, okay, just do it to somebody. Just. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's wonderful to be in church. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. If you are in the house of God, you are not happy. Where then will you be happy? Is it in clubhouse? If you can't be happy in the house of God, where else do you want to be happy? If you come to the house of God, you just want to be alone. You don't want anybody to talk to you. You don't want anybody to disturb you. Then where do you want to be happy? The Bible says, one Father, one Lord, one baptism. If you don't feel happy seeing the people, the brethren, it's not certain that you are going to heaven. Because you are going to see these people in heaven, it means God doesn't have, you can't get to heaven and become, it will be like that. These are your brethren. So anytime we come to the presence of the Lord like this, be excited, seeing your brother, seeing your sister. Hallelujah. Can you look at your person beside you and say, you are my brother, my sister? Even though we are not from the same biological family, you are my brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it again this way. Even though we don't physically look alike, that you are my brother, you are my sister. Hallelujah. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. This relationship is stronger than those blood relationships that you are looking at. Because some of the brethren, some of your family members may not enter heaven. That's a fact. You may not, after death, you may not see them again. That's the truth. That your brethren, who are your brethren, even after death, you will see them. That's why you sing that song. But I don't want to sing it here today. You know? So you should know this is, friends, I told you earlier on, you know, I've been saying it, I am a believer of God's word. We got to believe God's word. We should not just have mental assent. Mental assent, read it, know it, but you don't practice it. So many people in church have mental assent of God's word. They read it, but they don't practice it. They don't believe it. If the scripture says we are one body, and yet you don't believe that we are one body. You say we have one baptism, we have one Lord. You don't believe it. You come to church, you don't believe it. Then you just have mental assent of God's word. You don't, you know it, that you don't, it won't work for you. It doesn't work for you. We should learn to believe God's word. If he says it, I believe it. If he says it, I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't like my face, you are my brother. You are my sister. Tell the person beside you, even if you don't like my face, you are my brother. You are my sister. Please look at the eyeball. That person may not want to look at your eyeball. Look at the eyeball. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the reality. Okay, are you tired? You're going to say to that person, look, Ojulorowa, face that person. I love you. Even if you don't like it, I love you. Anyone who does not love will not go to heaven. And I will not go to hell. I love you. I love you. Say it, I love you. I will not go to hell. Hallelujah. Okay, let's do it this way. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Sit down there, just hold your hands. Let's join our hands together, all together. The love of the Lord. I can see all over you. The glory of the Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love
of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see all over you the glory of the Lord. Yes, I love.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say it after me. I will live in love. Say it again. Because I'm heaven bound. I refuse to allow hatred to hold me down. I will not go to hell. My inheritance is not in hell. A big amen. You know, about a few weeks ago, we had the vacation Bibles. We concluded the vacation Bible school. And last week, we were supposed to pray for all the workers that resident pastor forgot. He announced to you before I came that when I come, I'm going to pray with you. But when I came, he forgot. Please, may the Lord forgive him. That one of the workers of the Vacation Bible School came to me and said, told me this, and said, today I'm going to pray because you have done, God has used you mightily. Acknowledge it, God has used you mightily. I hear some of the children and ask them, what did you learn? So, even while we're not around, when we had opportunity of talking, and I hear some awesome things, and I say, thank God for what God did And I also, recently I saw an artwork done by the graphic or arts department during the program, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. We want to thank God for all of you, all the workers, and everyone that participated and all that supported the Vacation Bible School. I want to thank God for you. I have raised up my prayer of thanksgiving to God on your behalf, and I know God has heard you. And today, God is going to do something new in your life. A big amen. And our children will make us proud. Our children will be great. They will not be ordinary. They will serve God in their generation. I've always said the greatest gift you can have is to have your children serving the Lord. I keep saying it and I repeat it. It's not your child. Wonderful, it's good for our children to come out with first class. It's good for them to have great jobs. But that's not the end of it all. The greatest joy that a parent can have is to have his children know God and serving Him. That's the greatest joy. And that is what is going to give you peace. You're going to have peace. You will not be troubled. You'll be able to sleep and rest. Know that somebody will call you of negative news concerning your son. Come to the police station. No. Or you are looking for a child, you can't find him. The greatest investment you can have is to invest in the salvation and the knowing of the Lord for your children. And I want all parents to please put this as a priority. Put this as, and you will have, you know what? Later on, you may not know now. Later on, you will know this. You will have peace. At the stage when you are growing old, you will have peace. When these children become adults, you will have peace. Invest in them now. This is the window of opportunity that God has given to us. It's getting to a time that the window of opportunity will go up and we don't have such time again. Even if you want to do that, you have such time that you can't do it. The window of opportunity in the lives of the children has been closed. When they become that stage of, got to that stage of life, you can't force them. You can't tell them. You can only advise them. When they get married, you can only advise them. You can't force them. This is the best time to do it. This is the time to invest in our children. I am committed to this. I see it as a life mission. I'm committed to this. Every child that passes through me must come to know the truth. Must come through my words, through my life. I want to see seeds of eternity sown in the lives of these children. Because it's so short. See, some of these young people who are walking around, some of them were young in those days. We did the namings of some of them. But they have grown. They are all big girls. Big girls. Now, big, all of them are big boys. Big boys. They were little then. Because children grow very fast. That's why you must take it as a matter of urgency to do what you need to do early enough. So I challenge our parents. Please pay attention to the life of these children. While you pay attention to the academics, please pay more. Give more priority to the spiritual lives of these children. And you will be glad that you did it. The theme during the program was, what was the theme for the Vacation Bible School? The blood of Jesus. And I'm going to do like a recap this morning. Like a recap. And then we'll pray. I may do a little expansion, but something that our children will remember. I'm going to speak briefly on the wonders of the blood. The wonders of the blood. Can I hear you say it? The wonders of the blood of Jesus. The wonders of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the text we read, because, you know, our God is a sovereign God. Our God is can never be caught unawares. He has a great plan. A plan, that's why we must be great planners. We must be able to plan for tomorrow. Must be able to plan for the future. Must be a planner. God is a strategist. God is a great strategist. Hell, he had planned it that he will accomplish and perfect the work of salvation through the blood. So, when Jesus was during the time of the passion of Jesus, during his suffering, God made sure that that came to pass. The scripture says, under normal situation, you know, the Jews who, and the chief priests and the high priests and all of them who persecuted Jesus, they were all Jews, you know. And by Jewish law, you are not supposed to touch anything dead or unclean on the Sabbath day. So, if they had to participate in the Sabbath, the Saturday Sabbath, they needed to bury Jesus before the Sabbath. And lo and behold, you know, Jesus was crucified with two other people, altogether three. So when they looked at the time that it was already getting to the time of preparation for the Sabbath, some hours before the Sabbath, before Saturday, they begin to prepare for the Sabbath. And nothing, they must not touch the dead, they must not touch anything unclean. So they came to the cross where Jesus had been nailed to make sure that they kill him. If in case he has not died, they got there, they discovered that when they got to that place, Jesus, look at it, let's go back. Verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. Verse 33. Then when they came to Jesus and they saw that what? He was already dead. It fulfilled the first prophecy in the book of Psalm 34 verse 20 that none of his bones were broken. See, all along, all God's word will never fail. They came there to break his bone. They broke the bones. They saw the other two were not dead. They broke their bones so that they could die very fast. But when they got to Jesus, they discovered that Jesus was already dead. So they needed not to break his bone. Fulfilling the words of God in Psalm 34 verse 20, he guarded all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So Jesus' bones were not broken to the burial. Now, it was like somebody got angry. Oh my God, this man is already dead. But listen to this, friends. Listen to this. I told you, God is a great strategist. And when he wants to achieve his purpose, in heaven, he writes a script like a drama. Like people in the drama, he writes a script. There's what we call divine drama. He writes a script of what will happen. And once he writes a script, the actors, the props, and all others, including the extras, all of them, they will be in God's plan, including the enemies of that purpose. Because they must be part of the actors that will bring about the fulfillment of God's purpose. God has already written a script. So when the enemies, sometimes when the enemies think that they are against you, they don't know that they are only instrumental in God's hand to push you to the place of your destiny. Sometimes they don't know. They think they are doing you evil. No, no, that they are just being instrumental in God's hand to push you to the place of your destiny. Even enemies, foes, can become the truth is that they are unwilling actors. Unwilling actors. Like Joseph's brother said, like Joseph said concerning his brothers, in that scripture we read in the morning, Genesis 50 verse 20, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for my good. In order to do what? To bring it about as it is this day. To do what? To save what? Many people alive. Can you see the enemies falling into God's plan? So sometimes when some people think they are undoing you, they are only becoming instruments in God's hand to take you to your place of destiny. When they came to Jesus, they discovered that Jesus was already dead. But the purpose of God was about to be fulfilled. God has said it. He guard all his bones. Not one of them is broken. So they came, they discovered that he was dead. So they didn't break his bones. Prophecy fulfilled. Now, look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. But one of the soldiers, for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe out of anger, out of bitterness, whatever, or out of zeal, one of the soldiers pierced his side, took his sword, and pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Prophecy fulfilled. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Blood needed to come must touch the heart. Heart has been cursed. The curse must be removed. It started during the time of his trial. By the time they were beating him under the Romans were beating him. You know, in those days, the Romans scourging will come with leathers, with irons attached to it, metals attached to it, with stones, with lead balls, in such a way that once they strike a person, they scourge a person, the leather will go round and break into the skin, sometimes to the vein, sometimes to the muscle, lacerate and burst it open with blood gushing out. So history, forensic and historic study and evidences prove that under normal situation, Jesus, most people who pass through that kind of crucifixion, even before their final crucifixion, after being scourged that way, they would have died because of loss of blood. They should have died because the blood, the scourging was much. Jesus received 39 strokes minus one, would have been 40. With that blood gushing out of his body, he still carried on till the cross to fulfill a purpose. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, what? Curse is everyone that is what? Hung upon the tree. If he had died, listen to this, if he had died before the cross, that purpose wouldn't have been fulfilled. He needed to be on the cross. Even though he lost so much blood, but how he got there was still a miracle, fulfilling God's purpose. because he had to be on the cross. But when he got to the cross, before they finally broke his bone, he died. To fulfill the prophecy again, none of his bone will be broken. They came again, one got angry again, used his spear, pierced him, and blood and water came out to fulfill the purpose. I pray for you. May God's purpose for your life be fulfilled. May your enemies be unwilling actors to bring you to God's purpose. Can I hear you say a bigger amen? May your enemies be unwilling actors to bring you to God's purpose. In the name of Jesus. The wonders of the blood. Now, let's see. Let me mention quickly 7 wonders of the blood. You know, you hear about 7 wonders of the world. But I'm going to mention 7 wonders of the blood. Number one, quickly. It's the blood of our forgiveness. I'm sure this is a refreshment. The blood of our forgiveness. You know why forgiveness is so important? You know why forgiveness is so important? Is that we can't approach him without being forgiven. We can't approach him without being forgiven. There's a wrath of God upon everyone, every human being, anger of God upon us. So we need forgiveness for the anger to be bypassed. The scripture says in the book of Romans chapter 3, let's just read verse 24, Romans 3, 24, and we'll maybe take it to 26. Being justified freely by his grace, you know, justification is to declare you acquitted as if you have not sinned again, that there's nothing against you. You know, I told you the other day, when the federal government declared amnesty for those people who have been in prison, Ojukwu received amnesty. Most of these generals that were condemned and that they were part of the coup, they were released. They were the federal government just on one day, on one independence day, and said, I declare them free, I announce them released. That is what they call justification. As a result, they can see because they have been freed, not because they completed their prison sentence. They can now go again. They can get everything that they have seized from them. Their salary will be restored. All the properties they collected from them, that they confiscated, will be returned to them. And they now have right, like any other citizen, to even contest election. They are not regarded as ex-convicts. But if a person is convicted and imprisoned, and then completes his prison sentence, maybe 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and after completing it, the person is now released. The person becomes an ex-convict for life. He cannot contest election. There are many things he cannot do. But when the person is released by the decision of the government or whoever, like the governor can do it, has the power, and the president can do it, when that happens, that is related to what is called justification. It means you are not regarded as, none of your sin can be counted on you any longer. You are looked as if you have never committed any sin. So the scripture says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. True faith to demonstrate in his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has done what? Bypassed. God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Listen to this. One thing that the blood of Jesus does for us, it gives us forgiveness. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew 26, verse 28, and Jesus himself instituted this, said it before he left. Matthew 26, 28. But this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Friends, believe it. Believe it. By the blood of Jesus, your sins have been forgiven. Believe it. You only need to receive it by faith. Believe it and receive it by faith. Your sins have been forgiven. That's why he says, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, even if your sins as red, they come and let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as what? As red as scarlet, they shall be what? As white as snow. If they be as crimson, they shall be as what? As wool. God is saying this, Isaiah 43 verse 25, said, even I, it is I, who this what? Who blots away your transgression and your sins for my own sake, not for your own sake. For my own sake, I took that decision for my own sake, and your sin, I will remember your sin no more. I will not even remember again. So believe it that you have been forgiven. Believe it. Believe it. Believe it that you have been forgiven. And everybody say, you are here, you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place. I want you to put your left hand on your chest and say it after me. I believe it. I have been forgiven. My sins are no longer with me. By the blood of Jesus, I have been washed clean. I have been washed clean. Thank you, Father. I'm forgiven. A big amen. So the blood is the blood of our redemption. The blood of our forgiveness, Father. The first thing is the blood of our forgiveness. The second is the blood of our redemption. Redemption means it's also related to forgiveness. Redemption means to buy back. To do what? To buy back. It's the blood of our redemption. To restore. To buy back, to restore. It also means to pay one's debt. Means you are a slave before. You were now taken back. The price for your freedom was paid. The blood of Jesus was the price that God paid. You know, we sold ourselves out. Friends, are you with me, church? We sold ourselves out. And the Bible tells us when Jesus was under temptation, Satan said, if you can only bow down and worship me. Look at all these things that have been given to you. And Jesus said, he said, because all these things have been delivered unto him. Who delivered it to him? We now, Adam and Eve, delivered it to him at the Garden of Eden. Handed it over to him. So Satan will say, I have right over this. But Jesus came and paid to get it back. He got it back. He paid to get us back from the hands of our enemies. That is the redemption. To pay, to buy back, to restore. How did he pay back? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that you were bought at a price. At what? A price. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. You were bought at what? You were not bought free of charge. That's why you need to face Satan. You were bought at a price. You were bought. Say, I was bought at a price. Say it louder. Satan, you don't have right over me any longer. You know, the word redemption is also a business term. When you buy something and they give you a receipt. When they give you a receipt, if you have not fully paid, they will just give you a receipt, they will not pay rightfully pay. But the day you fully pay, or maybe you just went there and got some things and just got prices or so on, they can give you an invoice. But when you buy, they give you a receipt that you've not fully paid. The day you fully pay, they will write it there, fully paid. So that word is also a business term to show that you have, Jesus had fully paid. It's also used in the military when the battle is fully won. Say the battle has been fully won. It's also used in sporting activities. When you run a race and you complete it, you know, it's not everybody who starts the race and completes it. But when you run and you complete it, you say you have fully completed the race. All these are related to the word redemption. Jesus fully paid the price to buy us back. He didn't pay it partially. That's why he said you were bought at a price. You were not bought with anything. Look at what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 and 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 and 19. The Bible says, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Everybody, let's read it together. 1, 2, go. Knowing that you were not redeemed, Lord, with what? Corruptible things like silver and what? But with the precious, like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, which you received by tradition from your fathers, that with the what? Precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without what? Please, can you help me do something? Tell your neighbor, you were not redeemed with money. You were not redeemed with dollars. You were not redeemed with pound sterling. All these are corruptible things. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without blemish. Hallelujah. You were not redeemed with money. Because if you use money, somebody can give, you know, sometimes you want to buy something, somebody puts this money down, and that person can, when you are doing auctioning, and they said they want to sell this car is $5,000. Somebody can put, say, offer 5,000, and that person can put 7,000, and that person can put 8,000. So it is not about money, but where will you get the blood without sin? The blood that is precious, without blemish, without spot, you can never get it. Look at it. You are too precious in the sight of the Lord to be treated anyhow. Are you with me, church? Because you were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. You are too precious. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah 43 verse 4, it says, because you were what? Talk to me. Because you were precious in my sight. You were precious in my sight. Oh my God, I want you, please follow. Please don't be hearer of the word alone. Please practicalize this word. You are too precious to be treated anyhow. You are too precious. You are too precious. You were the price. Nobody can pay the price tag over your life because you were bought at a price, with the price of the blood. You are too precious. So the blood of Jesus is the blood of our redemption. The blood of Jesus is the blood of our what? The first one, the blood of Jesus is the blood of our what? Next is the blood of our assets. The blood of our assets. The blood of our assets. The more you know it, the more you know the word of God, the more it pays you. Because it's going to reflect in your life someday. The blood of our assets. That's why you must pay attention to the word. Some people come to church, they're not even bothered about the word. They just sit down and not move. Pay attention to the word of God. A time of need. A time of need is coming. Pay attention to the word. Pay attention to the word. Number three is the blood of our assets into his presence. You know, in the days of old, the priests come into the holy place. You know, you have three levels. You have the outer court, you have the holy place, and the what? Talk to me. The holy of holies. The outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The priests come into the holy of holies, the holy place. They have access to come into the holy place. But they don't have access to go into the holy of holies. The war. You know, I told you the other day, if they try it, what happens? If they die there. Because if they go there and their own sin, they don't, because sometimes they go also to ask for forgiveness for their own sin. There's a sin in their life and they have not made atonement for. God can kill them there. And once they die there, because that place is too holy, nobody has right, has power, can go inside that place. Never. The high priest only enters into the Holy of Holies once a year. And they call the day of what? Atonement. Everybody say the day of atonement. Once a year, he enters into the Holy of Holies. And once he enters, if something happens, nobody can say, I want to go and check him. You can't go and check him. You can't go and check what happened. So what they do is that history, they tie rope on their legs. When they are going, after waiting 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you don't find them. They pull the rope to pull them out because that place is too holy. But the blood of Jesus gives us access not only to the holy place, but to the holy of holies. The holiest place. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having what? Boldness to enter the holiest of the enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You have confidence to enter. That's why you can say, Father, I have confidence by the blood of Jesus to come into the place where you are. To come into the place. Sing it with me. Father, I have confidence. Through the blood of Jesus. To come into the place. To come into the place now we have confidence to enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus. You know, we can no longer be restricted. We can come into the blood of Jesus. Gives us access. Is the blood of our access. Three things we've mentioned. The blood of Jesus is what? First one, the blood of our forgiveness. Number two. Number three. Now, number four. It is the blood that speaks for us. The blood that speaks for us. It's the speaking blood. The speaking blood. Everybody say the speaking blood. It speaks for us. Speaks for you. Speaks justification. Speaks forgiveness for you. Speaks favor for you. Speaks mercy for you. It speaks. That blood speaks. When the devil wants to raise up his voice, the blood speaks. No! The blood is our advocate. It's like our advocate. Our advocates who stands to speak on our behalf. The Bible says in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 24, you know, from verse 22 says, we are not come unto Mount Zion that can be touched with hand, but we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the innumerable company of angels, before the God of who is the judge of all, before Jesus who is the mediator of the new covenant, Verse 24, and the blood of the of sprinkling that speaks what? Is a speaking blood. That blood speaks for us. Keeps on speaking for you. Speaks mercy concerning you. Speaks favor concerning you. That's why you must not joke with the blood. Friends, hey, you can't joke with the blood. The blood of, everybody say the blood of Jesus. Speaks for us. The blood is a speaking blood. Speaks every time. Mercy concerning our life. Favor concerning you. Deliverance concerning you. Speaking voice. There are different voices in the earth. There are voices. There is the voice, the human voice that speaks against you, slander. They speak slander to destroy you. They speak gossip to destroy you. But the blood of Jesus speaks contrary. There's also the blood, there's also the voice that speaks condemnation concerning you. They speak condemnation concerning you. Sometimes the voice comes from within you. You that committed abortion the other time. You think you are forgiven? You have not forgiven. You that did it the other day. You think you are forgiven? So as a result, once that thought comes to your mind, like you are praying like this, reversi will just come to your mind. You can't pray again. Immediately you remember, the thing brings you down. It's like your strength goes off. The thought will just come back to you. You remember you did this the other day? Voice of condemnation. You know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? Voice of condemnation. You also have voice, demonic voices. They call these voices the accusers of the brethren. Remember how they stood against the Joshua the high priest and went and accused him. The satanic voices. All these voices. You can silence this voice, these voices with the voice of the blood. Plead the blood of Jesus against them. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against that thought. I plead the blood of Jesus against those voices. I plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks mercy concerning us. This man has mercy. You can't stop him. This man has been forgiven. You can't stop him. This sister has been forgiven. You can't stop her. It's the blood that speaks. Number five is the blood of our distinction. The blood of our distinction. The blood of our distinction. It demarcates between us and the wicked. That's why you keep on saying, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. The blood of our distinction. The blood of our distinction. Exodus chapter 11 verse 7. It said, and you will know. After instituting the Passover, or talking about the Passover that will be instituted, God was saying, speaking to the children of Israel. And he said, that against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does what? That the Lord does what? Makes a difference between the what? The Egyptian and the children of Israel. That blood is the blood of your distinction upon you. I cannot stop telling you that this is real. That's why Paul could say it in Galatians 6, chapter verse 17. I bear upon me what? Everybody says, I have the mark of Jesus upon me. That's a sign upon you. The fact is that, friends, you may not see it, but it's on you. The seed is the blood of your difference. The blood of the difference, the blood of your distinction. It distinguishes you from others. When the destruction is going, it will see you, it will bypass you. It won't come near you. It's the blood of our distinction. That really takes us to the next one, which is related. Is the blood of our defense. It defends us. It defends us, not only distinguishes us, but also defends us. In the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, and says, when I see the blood, I will do what? I will pass over. The blood is upon you. Death comes and jumps over you. Destruction comes and jumps over you. Evil comes and jumps over you. That's the blood that makes us to have walk in the covenant. One of the things that makes us to walk in the covenant of divine exemption. What happens to others won't happen to you. It is the blood of your defense. It defends you. When I see the blood over you, I will pass. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of our defense. Let somebody shout hallelujah. How many have we mentioned now? Six. Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. And the last today, four. I said seven wonders of the blood. The seventh wonder is the blood of our victory. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. Not the blood is our victory. Revelation 12, verse 11. When I see, he said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Friends, listen to this. Listen to this. There are weapons. There are physical weapons. You can see. Take gun. There are, take all sort of weapons, physical. There are spiritual weapons. You can't see that they are potent, they are powerful. They can destroy addiction. They can destroy the power of sickness and diseases. They can destroy the hold of poverty. They overcame by the blood. They overcame. The blood is the tool, is our tool of victory in this world. It's the blood of our victory. Don't stop using the blood. Satan bows to the power of the blood. The blood of our victory. Seven wonders of the blood. As you use this word, this weapon in your life, as you assess God's presence, you know we are no longer strangers. We are no longer foreigners. We can enter into his presence by that blood. The blood of Jesus is our tool of wonders in this world. It's our tool of wonders in this world. The blood of Jesus is our tool of wonder. It's the blood of Jesus is the blood of our forgiveness. The blood of Jesus is the blood of our redemption. The blood of Jesus is the blood of our access. The blood of Jesus is the blood that speaks for us. The blood of Jesus is the blood of our distinction. The blood of Jesus is the blood of our defense. And the blood of Jesus is the blood of our what? Victory. Let somebody shout a big hallelujah. The seven wonders of the blood. The blood, my confidence is in the blood. I overpower the enemy by the blood. I have confidence to come into his presence by his blood. I cannot allow myself to be under any kind of condemnation because the blood washes away my sins. My sins, God cannot even remember. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, if he had risen from the dead, therefore our sins are no longer with him, and our faith is not futile. My faith is not futile because my blood, my sins have been forgiven. I can come confidently into his presence. I can enter into the holiest place. The holiest place by the blood of Jesus. The mark of the blood is upon me. Let the devil see me and bypass me. Wherever I go, the mark of distinction is upon me. The covenant of distinction, divine distinction, divine exemption is upon me. What happens to all that cannot happen to me? Because of the power of the blood that is upon me. Let somebody shout a big hallelujah. Rise on your feet as we thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Rise on your feet as we thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Say it after me. Father, thank you. Can I hear you say louder? For forgiving me through the blood. I have been forgiven. My sins are no longer with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for redeeming me, for buying me back. I was bought at a price. Therefore, I will glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God. Thank you, Father. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, because it is written, curse is everyone that is hung upon the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. I receive the blessing of Abraham in the name of Jesus. Thank you for redeeming me from poverty, from sicknesses, from shame, from disfavor. I am redeemed. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the access I have into the holiest place. I'm no longer a stranger. I'm no longer a foreigner. I can come boldly through the blood into the place where you are, into the throne of grace. I come boldly with assurance. I can no longer be hindered. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood that is speaking for me, speaking mercy for me, speaking justification for me, speaking favor for me, speaking freedom for me. Thank you for the speaking blood, speaking where I cannot even get to, speaking in rooms where I cannot even enter, speaking in meetings where I cannot even enter. Thank you for speaking for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood of my distinction. The mark of distinction is upon me. By this blood, my life shall be spared. What comes on others will not come upon me. I bear upon me the mark of the Lord Jesus. Let no one trouble me. In the name of Jesus, thank you for the mark of my defense. Thank you for the mark of my defense. I am completely defended. God is my defense. I am defended through the blood. I am covered with the blood. Death will see me and bypass me. Destruction will bypass me. Evil will bypass me. Plagues will bypass me. In the name of Jesus, the blood is the blood of my defense. Thank you for the blood of my victory. I have victory over hell, over the devil, over Satan. Not by my power, but by the blood of Jesus. I overcome by the blood of Jesus. I overcome sickness, incurable diseases by the blood of Jesus. I overcome rejection. I overcome condemnation. I overcome disfavor. I overcome shame. I overcome premature death by the blood of Jesus. This is the blood of my victory. Thank you, Lord, for the seven wonders of the blood. I walk in the supernatural by the power of the blood. In the name of Jesus, let somebody say the biggest amen. And I now finally say this word of prayer with you. If a man goes to hell, it's no longer God's fault, because he rejected the sacrifice that has been made up for him. The blood has been paid. Your redemption has been has been purchased. Your life has been purchased. Jesus has paid for your redemption. You don't need to die. You don't need to go to hell. You don't need to allow the devil to cheat you. All you need to do is to accept by faith what Jesus has done. Say, I believe it and accept it. I believe it and accept it. The Bible says he is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Jesus died for your sin. He paid for that sin. The blood was shed to forgive you. Only you need to take by faith and believe it. I want to invite you today to accept this forgiveness that God has given you. Accept the sacrifice that Jesus has made for you. You are here today. You want to say, Jesus, I believe it. I don't want to continue to live under this condemnation. Even though you have made this confession, but you need to make it permanent. I don't want Satan to accuse me any longer. I don't want, because he's the accuser. I don't want him to come back and accuse me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I want to be your child from today. Pastor, please pray with me. You want me to pray with you? Please put your left hand on your chest. Wherever you are, left hand on your chest. I'm going to pray this prayer for you and with you. If you are doing that, say to the Lord, Lord, I give you my heart. And I give you my life. And I believe it, that Jesus died for my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe it. I believe this blood was shed for me. Thank you, Father. Can I pray with you right now? As you put that left hand on your chest, please lift up your right hand to God. Let me say a word into your life. Right hand. Thank you, my hand. If you are raising it up, please raise it higher. Don't put it down. You raise it up. Don't put it down again. Just raise it up before the Lord. I want to pray with you. Receive boldness. Receive courage. Arrange your destiny. Settle your destiny before God this evening, this morning. I'm giving my heart to Jesus. I don't want to live under condemnation. I don't want to live under sin any longer. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here today, including these little ones. I am asking that, I don't want to take this for granted, that they don't know what they are doing. But I know, Lord, you love them. They are precious in your sight. I am asking that you reveal yourself to them deeper. They will know you more, and they will be established in the faith. I pray that they will be grounded in you. They will love you. Jesus, you will be real to them in the name of Jesus. As they grow in age, they will grow in your grace. I pray that today we mark a new beginning in their lives. Lord, be personal to them in their relationship with you. Thank you, Father. For every one of us, help us to live in these wonders of the blood. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.